Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 7. And as you make your way there, let me just tell you that this is the time of year for me as a pastor that it's a unique part of my year. There are a collection of duties that go along with being a part of a denomination. These first couple months of the new year is a time when pastors, Nazarene pastors, need to complete and participate in denominational requirements for our ministerial role. On my desk in the parsonage right now, I've got a checklist of duties because I have a habit of forgetting things or procrastinating on things. I've got a list of duties that need to get done and the due dates where I need to have them done by just to make sure I'm getting those things ready in advance. And they're not the kind of things I want to try and do last minute. I want to make sure I'm very proactive on getting those things done. So going through the process of filling out church reports, let me just tell you, it's one of the least exciting things for a lot of pastors is filling out reports, but it's a part of the process of giving an annual report to the district. So for us, it's the Chicago Central District. And when I go through that process, one of the things, I have one distinct feeling that comes through each and every year doing that, and that distinct feeling is this: being a pastor is not like any other job in this world. Now, while there may be parts of my job that maybe relate a little bit something to jobs out there, the collection of jobs altogether make it where there's no other job like it. Especially if you look at the job description of a pastor, it's very unique. The purpose, the goals, the objectives of a pastoral position and the purpose and goals and objectives of a church are qualitatively different from jobs and workplaces and organizations in this world. The annual reporting process for pastors in the Church of the Nazarene is a yearly reminder of that reality. And while there are pastors, lots of pastors who grumble about parts of the reporting process or all of the reporting process, there are some valuable things that I experience because of it. The reporting at the beginning of a year directly impacts what happens for me at the end of the year. By the time October and November roll around, I start to ask myself a series of questions. When I'm gathered together with those pastors, which will be in the beginning of March, when I'm gathered together with those other pastors and I'm giving a report, what am I going to share about my year? When I'm gathered together, what am I going to share with them? Are there any projects yet that need still to get done that sometimes at the beginning of the year, I'm like, oh, I'd like to get this done, this done, this done. If it gets to October, it's like, how many of those did I get done? How many are left? What can I still get done before the year comes to an end? What have I learned this year? How have I grown this year? How have I messed up this year? I go through a whole host of questions as a year comes to close. When looking back over a year, there are lots of places where a person can start when doing their assessment, but there really is only one place where a Christian start in doing that kind of reflection, and that is with their blessings. How have you been blessed this year? If a person gets started with all that still needs to get done, they can get fixated on doing things and get busy and keep themselves busy. If a person gets started focusing on where they messed up, they can get fixated on their failures and quickly find themselves down in the dumps. A far better alternative is to start with reflecting on the blessings of the past year. Starting there puts a person in a position and a frame of mind where they can see just how much God has done, resulting in a spirit of praise and appreciation for the one from whom all blessings flow. And earlier, a couple different times, I gave you a heads up thinking about a blessing from this past year. And what I would like is for as many as who are willing to share with all of us a blessing you've experienced that you'd like to publicly give thanks for. And so my wonderful assistant, Vanna, act like I'm Pat Sajak. I know some of you like Wheel of Fortune over here. Lori's going to be my Vanna. Let me give you please the blue one. So what I'll do is Lori, with our microphone, she'll go around. If you want to raise your hand at all, if you have something to share, raise your hand. She'll come around, and you can stand or sit and share, but at least using the microphone, we can hear you. So if you have a blessing you'd like to share, feel free to do that. We got a hand in the back over there.
I've been sitting here thinking about the blessings, and one that comes to mind is God allowing me to come to this place to be with you. Yeah. I'm trying not to hear this all tears. But it has been a blessing. And I thank you all.
Okay, there you go.
Oh my gosh, I wanted to say so much more.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Okay, anybody else have a blessing they'd like to share?
Yeah,
the first step to crying is saying, "I'm not going to cry." I think that's how that works usually. I got some more hands back there. There you go.
Where do I start? I was lost between churches, and by the grace of God and the help of my friend Chris here, I was able to come here. Yeah. And at the other church, I wasn't had the opportunity to sing and praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I prayed. My prayers were answered, and I'm here. And I'm very happy. I will continue learning in the Sunday school of the Bible and life as it is to get me through the difficulties and things that I have to go through in my life. So, and I appreciate my pastor and the people here that I've met.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very blessed, and I thank the Lord for that. Thank you.
Amen.
Well, excuse me. I say to the Lord all the time, I try and thank Him every day for what He's done for me. But I also add, if I was to thank You for every single thing that You've done for me, I would never finish. Sure. I would never finish. Because it's constant.
Yep.
And I do thank Him for so many things. But I want to share something I heard on the way here. Erwin Lutzer, he said, "Aren't you glad we can stand on the promises of God instead of sitting in the premises?" Mm-hmm. And I just, that really touched me.
Yep. Cool. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else want to share a blessing now? Oh, we got Janice over here. We're keeping Vanna busy.
Yeah.
All right, right.
I'm so thankful that I found this church, because where I was before, people never greeted us, and my people greeted us here.
Well, we love greeting you, that's for sure. Yeah. Oh, I think Johnny.
I went to Beth Haven and made some new friends. I really love all how thank you God for led me to move into Ohio and make new friends. And I thank God for that. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, Johnny is one of the newest addition to the Austin House. I remember I had the Austin House group as a special classroom for a little bit over a year ago. And so I remember hearing about this new Johnny that was moving in. So I'd heard about Johnny long before I got to meet him. And so he's thankful for this last year of just having a home and getting to know them. So thank you. It's great for us to get to know you too, Johnny.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else want to share? Okay. Anybody else?
What? I'm thankful for my devotional time every morning. It means so much to me. And about, what was it, a year ago in October, Joe had given us a journal to write in every day. And every morning I'm writing in that journal. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning a lot from the Lord, and everything, you know, the Lord's telling me, I got little treasures. Open your eyes and see. I'm finding different things the Lord has put out in the path for me. Take my hand. Come with me. And the blessings have just been coming. And I'm thankful now with Larry retired. Just the blessings are just coming one by one. And everything's just working so well.
Good.
so many times in the past when I asked for somebody to share a blessing with, I never said anything. I mean, I know I blessed, but I never had anything specific to share. I do have something specific to share, but before I get to that, I want to share how we all are blessed. Somebody said, I overstepped my bounds, forgive me. How many of you had to walk to church today? Or did you ride in a car or some other vehicle? Boy, we all got to ride to church today. You know, people across the world.
Oh, but that's a luxury too, being that next door, yep.
Across the world, like in Africa, people walk miles, like tens and hours. They walk hours to go to church, but we had the privilege to just step into the car today. Mm-hmm. Okay, another thing. How many of you can hear, speak, taste, and smell? Wow, all those wonderful things. We all can. That's a blessing. Many people can't hear or speak or taste or smell. What a blessing. Simple things we all take for granted. How many people ate yesterday or today? Uh-huh. Oh, I think we all did by yesterday or today. The people in the world haven't eaten yesterday or today. Uh-huh. We all are blessed. You and I. How many people are drinking clean water today or yesterday? Uh-huh. Many people don't have clean water. Have you ever seen some water they drink? It looks like mud. Uh-huh. And yet look how blessed we are here. Did any of you have to sleep outside last night?
Not last night. The one did you kick me out there? I'm kidding. No. Last night. I was good last night.
But really, forget how blessed we are.
Amen.
Especially even in Chicago here. There's homeless people on the cold sleeping. There was even a story in the news this week of an 80-year-old gentleman. He's got no place to sleep. He's sleeping at all here. Mm-hmm. No place to sleep.
Yeah.
We're blessed.
Yeah.
Those are just some ethereal things. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 1:3 says, God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Everything necessary to live a good Christian life has been given to us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. God's goodness and mercy, it means we get good things we don't deserve. And praise God, we don't get the bad things we really do deserve.
Yeah, amen.
We don't have to go through our lives as orphans. God has made us his very own children. Jesus is our brother. The Holy Spirit lives inside us to guide us and comfort us. The Bible also says we shall dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever and ever and ever. Pastor, I am blessed. I'm blessed with every good thing every day in Jesus.
Amen.
And my personal testimony for the last year is I'm able to retire. Yeah. I'm 65 and I was able to retire. There's lots of people they can't retire. You see people sometimes on the news are 80 years old still working. And maybe they want to, but a lot of them, they can't afford to.
Yeah.
They're 89 years old. They can't afford to retire. I am blessed.
Yep. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Oh, there we go. Lori in the back.
My voice is pretty loud.
And it's good that you got a loud voice, too.
Through a lot this year. And to be honest with you, when I was in the hospital, I told everybody. surgery. I had cancer in two locations, which were totally different from each other. But when I was in the hospital, my first 2 days, I was in intensive care. And it's hard to explain. I've heard a lot about angels. And there was people on my bed at night. I woke up and there was people sitting around my room. They weren't people from the hospital. And they weren't angels with wings. They were common people. Some were older people that talked to me, and they didn't talk directly to me. They were talking to each other. And it's kind of weird. I can't explain that. I have no understanding, and I'm sitting there. And they were saying, well, what's next? And I didn't know what they were talking about. And then the next night, there was some younger people in the group that were probably in your age group. They were sitting around the room saying the same things. I'm like, who are these people? I have no clue. But my expectation of life last fall was very low. I anticipated that if I lived through the spring, I would be lucky because of the cancer that I did have. Like, in my wildest dream, having cancer in my esophagus, I thought would be the end of me because I couldn't swallow. I was having major problems eating. And then I met a doctor down in Northwestern, and he said, listen, I'm going to take, and I'm going to be your coach, and I'm going to take you in, and I'm going to take all your cancer out of your body, and I'm going to heal you, and you're going to come out of this. And with life, with God's blessing, he gave that physician the power to heal me. And so far, I'm cancer-free.
Amen.
I'm healing.
Amen.
I'm not totally healed. I'm still healing. But I would say 10, 15 years ago, the surgery that I had would not have been possible. Mm-hmm. But God's given me this church family, which I like. I adore. Mm-hmm. And there's everybody here that I really enjoy. And I do enjoy it. And I, like I said, my grandchildren, I adore to death. But God's given me a good family, given me a new lease on life, and I'm very grateful for that. Good. And I'm hoping this year's going to be a lot better. So.
Yeah. Amen.
Like I said, my voice, I hope everybody will be, like I said, I'm a given person. Anything that I can ever do for anybody in this church, if there's something I can do, I'm more willing to do it.
Yeah.
That's something that I do enjoy.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay. I think I have Lori in the back.
To come up with a blessing. I'm like, okay, what should I do? Mercy's telling me this at like 11 o'clock last night. Of course, like, first it's like, what do I share? What do I share? And then, like, Chris is like, well, I could share this, I could share this, I could share this, I could share this. And I, even like when church started this morning, I was like, I still don't know what I'm going to share. But then God laid it on my heart. If I can get through this. Many of you know that we prayed a lot for me to find a job closer to home. And every time I prayed, God said Elam. Elam Yale is where you need to be. Yale is where you're going to thrive. And not just financially. I mean, it's been a blessing that way. But just like with my team, my new manager, my new manager is 15 years younger than me. So that's kind of new for me. But the other day, so like I've had lots of jobs, many different bosses, different temperaments. And so like when I have a meeting with a boss, it's always like I get nervous and sick, like, oh, what are they gonna tell me I'm doing wrong? And so at this job, I have a weekly meeting with my manager. And of course it's like, oh my goodness, I'm gonna do this every week. I don't like this. But every week, especially since Gina has become my manager, she's just been like, Lori, let's see what else we can get you to do. Like, building me up, not tearing me down. And my last meeting with her, she said that she was talking with Dan, who is our boss. And she was like, oh yeah, we could have Lori do that too. But I don't even remember what it was that Dan wanted me to do. And then she was like, wait, no. That's not using Lori's gifts to the best of her ability. Like, we need to do something else. We need to have her do something else that utilizes her gifts in a better way. And I just, like, that blessed me right there. Like, she's looking out for me, not just like, oh, Lori can run the reports and look at the numbers. It's, but let's, she has other gifts that we need to utilize those better. And so that, so, like, again, like God said, go work at Elam. That's where you're going to thrive. Well, Gina's proving that right now, so tomorrow I'll probably go tell her. Hey, you're my blessing that I share in church. And also going back to what Chris said about, you know, we have all these blessings, we can't even name them all. My cousin's wife, Annika, who passed away 14 years ago in April, she was only 26. It was very tragic, but tragic circumstances. But she would always say that when she couldn't fall asleep, instead of counting sheep, she would start counting her blessings. And so I challenge every one of you. Like, I tend to worry a lot, especially when I lay down at night. Like, oh, all the worries start coming. Instead of counting sheep, I'm going to start counting my blessings, because there's a lot. And that will definitely give me better sleep if I do it that way. So.
Yeah. Just put that right back up there. I messaged Jo a couple days ago to give her, let her be able to have a voice through here, and she sent me a message of different things that she's just thanking God for in the past year. As maybe you know, she went through a lot of retirement trying to figure out job stuff, and God really helped her navigate through that process, so she's very happy with how that all panned out with the job she has now. She's excited. Her piano student list has went from 13 students to 22, and so she's loving being able to kind of work with that. And she's thankful that Joe has joined the worship team. She had that in there too. So she's thankful for Joe joining in with that, and how Ella has been doing and progressing over the last year. And so those are just the first things that come to mind for her. As for me, I have a couple praises, one personal and the other vocational. And earlier this week, I was continuing the cleaning and organizing adventure in my multiple office areas. And fortunately, good news for you, no top secret documents were found in any of my desks or any of the papers I went through. None. I looked. Nothing to be worried about, nothing to question me about. But in the process, I did end up finding all of our tax documentation stuff from over the years. I had them in a couple different areas, and I was like, I need to get that organized, and I need to purge a bunch of them, because I know you really only need 6 or 7 years. But I had the tax documents going all the way back to 2004, which is the year when Laura and I got married, I think, right? 2004, is that? Yeah. 2004 is when Laura and I got married, and I had tax documents from that first year. And looking at the numbers on some of those early tax documents, I could really see, wow, how in the world did God get us through? Those were some challenging seasons in life and seasons in our marriage in those early years. And so going through all that has put us in a position where now, today, like Lori mentioned with the blessings with her job, we don't even know where to begin to give God praise for his abundant provision and his blessing in the last year, year and a half. And so I can sort of relate to how those ancient Israelites must have felt wandering in the desert for 40 years only to go into the promised land flowing with milk and honey. God's provision for us personally has been a tremendous blessing. Vocationally, as a pastor, one of the biggest blessings in the past year has been, by far, the new additions in our midst. The challenges of 2020 had me in a position where I did not have any strong sense of what to hope for or pray for on the other side of all of that early mess. And in a season where many churches have struggled to figure out what the new normal would look like for them, and in a season where many churches haven't recovered their pre-pandemic attendance numbers, we have quite a few blessings in our midst as we look around. And it's exciting to get to know each and every one of the new people that have joined with us in the last year, year and a half. It's great to hear your stories, and it's wonderful to be able to worship alongside of you. Your presence has been a blessing, and to quote the Apostle Paul, I thank my God every time I remember you. With that, let's go ahead and stand for prayer and the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 7 and read verses 7 through 12. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Go ahead and be seated. Now, we could easily, as some of you have said along the way, there's more that you could have shared. There's lots of blessings that we could have went on and on from one blessing to the next. I've got more blessings on my list, and I know you do as well. And even if we don't corporately share like that on a regular basis, maybe we need to do that on a more regular basis. But even if that doesn't happen, you need to have some sort of a practice woven into the rhythm and routine of your life. It is extremely important for you to have a firm grasp on the sheer number of the blessings of God in your life. Important because there will always be challenging and discouraging situations that come up in life. That's just a natural part of life in this world. And if you ever find yourself in a challenging or discouraging situation in life without a firm grasp on God's blessings, you're going to find yourself feeling like you got a stone instead of bread or a snake instead of a fish. Lifting up and recognizing the blessings of God is not a practice that involves a denial of the very real painful situations that also happen. We can acknowledge both at the very same time. What we can't do is get stuck on one side where all we see are the blessings and live in denial about the pain and suffering in our midst, or get stuck on the other side where all we see is the pain and suffering and we can't see God's blessings in our midst. Christians can't get stuck in denial or in depression. Having gone through some difficult experiences and seasons in life, I can tell you that going through some difficult times can make it a whole lot easier to see some of the simple things in life for the complete blessings that they are. Like Larry went through that list. If you went through a season where food was a struggle and paying the bills was a struggle, when you're in a situation in life where those situations are different, you realize just how big of a blessing those things are. What you were coming out of, consider the dining experience. Well, hold on. Like I said, going through difficult times is going to make it a whole lot easier to see some of the simple blessings in life. If you look back in the rearview mirror of your life at seasons where you were forced to go without certain things that you now get to enjoy, chances are you will have a far greater appreciation for those things that you get to enjoy now. Consider the dining experience of those Israelites going from 40 years in the desert into the promised land. Their experience of the foods they got to enjoy after they crossed over in the Jordan River into the promised land, their appreciation was magnified because of the kind of limitations they had with their meals in the desert. Manna, quail, not a whole lot to eat. What they were coming out from impacted their perspective and their appreciation for what they received on the other end. And the same thing happened on the other end of their experience as they came out of Egypt and entered into the desert. Instead of appreciation, they had complaints. It wasn't long before the people of Israel were grumbling against Moses and grumbling against God about how much better it used to be back when they were in Egypt. And they expressed their desire to go back. I see both of those responses happen all the time in some of the Disney cruise discussion groups and conversations about food when it comes to the main dining areas on the ships. You have people who don't normally eat fancy on any kind of a regular basis, and they go onto a ship, and they're blown away by how amazing the food is and all the different kinds they get to, and they're just happy and excited about it. And then you have other people who are accustomed to eating out on a regular basis, fancy things all over the place, and they go onto the ship, and they have their little part of the discussion is how unimpressed they are with the food quality on the ship. It's all about perspective. A few months ago, a gentleman in the cruise group was going on and on and insisting that the food in those main dining areas was, in his words, inedible, just inedible. You can't eat this stuff. And I'm just like, how dramatic can you be to describe the kind of food that Laura and I and others have encountered, to describe that as just inedible? When you think about the number of people in our world who have little to nothing to eat each day, and people who are accustomed to very plain eating regimens because of where they live, comments like that are just irritating to come across, but they happen. Because of where we live and because of the kind of luxuries we grow accustomed to, we can easily lose sight of just how tremendous the blessings we experience in life truly are. If we don't take the time to reflect on those blessings and give thanks for those blessings, we may end up finding ourselves in a situation down the road where our world flips upside down, and then we will see just how truly blessed we were. As God's children in this world, we need to have an awareness and appreciation for God's blessings right where we are, wherever that happens to be. As you look back on 2022 and as you look at where you are now, give God thanks for the blessings you've received. The scripture we read this morning gives us another perspective that we need to also consider beyond just giving thanks for God's blessings in the present and the past, a perspective that has us looking forward and considering the kinds of blessings we would like to receive in the future, blessings that we need to request in some form, shape, or fashion, blessings that would require us to ask, seek, and knock. Scripture makes it pretty clear that there are blessings God has for his children which involve our active participation in that process, blessings that are in response to the requests we make. Now, this does not mean that every gift and every blessing of God demands an official request before it can be dispersed. In Matthew chapter 5, it says that God makes the sun rise on the evil and the good and causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Because God loves the world and because God loves his creation, there is a natural and routine distribution of his blessing into the world and into the lives of his creation. Whether you're righteous or not, or whether you ask for it or not, there are blessings of God that you are able to experience no matter what. There are blessings that are going to happen because of God's loving kindness, which are not remotely dependent on your activity. What this passage of Scripture in Matthew does tell us is that above and beyond the general blessings of God for all of his creation, there are gifts and blessings that do require our active participation in the process. There are blessings above and beyond general universal blessings that we will definitely miss out on if we are evil or unjust. And there are blessings above and beyond the general and universal blessings we will definitely miss out on if we don't ask, seek, or knock. While we may never know on this side of heaven the reasons behind why God answers requests and the ways that God answers them, we should at least be able to understand why making requests is even a part of the process. Because making requests is a natural part of any serious relationship. Will you please put the toilet seat down? Will you please stop putting your clothes on the floor? Will you please stop blowing your nose at the table? If I were to make a list of all the requests that Lori has made of me over our 20 years together, it would stretch all the way to the moon. That list would be staggering. And that list would include far more meaningful and impactful things than that little short common courtesy request that I just listed. When it comes to the requests that Lori sends my way, sometimes she just needs to ask in order to get what she wants. Sometimes she needs to seek it a little bit more persistently in order to get it. And sometimes she needs to knock, knock, knock before she finally gets what she desires and asks of me. The same goes for me in the long list of requests that I have asked over those years of her. I ask for things all the time, and that list would probably go to Mars instead of the moon. I don't know. I ask a lot. Making requests is a natural part of any relationship, including the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. It is a mutual and reciprocal situation where he has requests of us and we have the capacity to present our requests of him. The ability to ask requests and the desire to fulfill those requests reflect the kind of relationship that exists between the asker and the answerer. Jesus' words to us in Scripture suggest that we view requests of God through the lens of a parent-child relationship, one of the most loving and intimate relationships in the world. How many of you have a parent? Well, all of us have had a parent. Parents have an overwhelming desire to protect and provide for their kids. Asking for something in the context of that relationship is qualitatively different from asking for something in the context of some of those other relationships people have in this world. But what if Christians don't view their relationship with God as having the kind of closeness and intimacy and connection that exists between a child and their parent? Well, that would impact the kind of requests a Christian would feel like they would be able to bring to God. In the absence of that closeness and intimacy, you're not going to be bringing the same kind of request to God as you would if that closeness and intimacy were there. If the only time Christians are fervently going to God in prayer with requests are when there are health concerns or urgent health emergencies going on, I don't think that reflects the kind of relationship God desires. God is interested in far more than just our health status. And while our health is a major deal, that's not the only thing about our lives that matter to God. How many of the shared prayer requests in Christian circles have to do with people's health? And how many of the prayer requests that get marked as urgent and sent for our prayer chain are related to health? A very high percentage. Now, I don't have access to anybody else's prayer life but my own. My own is the only one I know 100% about what that prayer life involves. But I don't think my prayer life situation is remotely unique in Christian circles. And here's my situation I find myself in. I'm really bad when it comes to asking God for things. I'm just as guilty as the next Christian in only making requests marked as an urgent, high-priority request. And while Christians should by all means avoid turning God into a vending machine where you pop in a prayer so you can get out a goodie, or turning God into a Santa Claus where you climb up on his lap and give him your little self-centered wish list for what you want, right, we also need to avoid the other end of the spectrum where we don't even bother to bring most of our requests to him. That is problematic too. As you and I head into a brand new year, have you spent any time at all thinking about what you would like to see happen in this next year? How do you need God to show up in this year? Have you actively requested God to show up in specific ways in your life, or are you passively sitting back in a wait-and-see posture? The prayer posture we read in Matthew chapter 7 is not a wait-and-see posture. It is ask, seek, knock. According to Scripture, we have a proactive role in whether or not we will be the recipients of all of the blessings that God wants to lavish on his children, or just some of them. I'm fairly confident there are many years in my past where I only experienced some of God's blessings instead of all of them, and that wasn't God's fault, but mine. I didn't experience all of God's blessings that God had for me because I just didn't request them. And how can I get upset at God for God not giving me what I didn't ask for? Especially when I have Scripture telling me that I have a loving Heavenly Father eagerly wanting to bless me above and beyond a general level of blessing. As I head into a new year, I need to increase the quality and quantity of my requests to God. I don't want to miss out on what God wants to do. I don't want to miss out on his blessings that are ready and waiting. And the reason I want to increase the blessings and the blessings I request and increase the blessings I receive is not so God becomes that Santa in the sky and so I can selfishly indulge in those blessings. It is so the blessings I receive can be redirected into the lives of others in ways that bless them for the glory of God. The more that God blesses me, the greater my ability to be a blessing to those people in my sphere of influence. When Christians make their way through life receiving only some of God's blessing instead of all of it, the world on our doorstep gets a smaller taste of God's goodness through our lives. We are blessed to be a blessing, and as it says in Luke chapter 7, verse 12, do to others what you would have them do to you. In your time of need, you would want others to come to your aid, and so Christians should be the kind of people who are ready and able to be a blessing and help others in their time of need. How can Christians do that in powerful ways if they're getting by on the minimum level of God's goodness and the minimum level of God's gifts for their lives? The answer is they can't. As you and I head into a new year, what kind of blessing do we want to be for others? If it's our desire to be as big of a blessing as we can possibly be in the lives of others, that isn't going to just magically happen entirely on its own. Our ability to be a blessing to others is linked together with the amount of blessing that we ourselves experience. And the amount of blessing that we ourselves experience is linked together with our willingness to present those requests to God, because there is so much more in store for those who ask, seek, and knock on the doors of heaven. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now this morning we're closing with the song, Blessed Be Your Name. This is a song we actually sing over in the classroom over there quite a bit. I know you guys know a lot of the words for that song, so I'm glad you get to join with us in singing that song. That song contains a very important message. Our ability to call on the Lord and to call the Lord blessed and to give him glory and honor is not dependent on our circumstances. Our ability to praise God shouldn't depend on whether we are walking in the land of plentiful or walking in the wilderness. The God who provided the path out of Egypt through the sea is the same God who provided manna in the wilderness and is the same God who provided a promised land for his people. There isn't a place in this life, in this world, where God's blessings aren't available in some shape or form. Those difficult seasons are the ones that shape and form us into the kind of people that God wants us to be. People who will trust him, people who will draw close to him, and people who will present their requests to him with the confidence of a child coming to their father. So go ahead and stand with me this morning as we close in song singing, Blessed Be His Name.